Yes.
Please just rise and join us in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Warren County Board of Supervisors, March 9th, 2021.
Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
That pen over there.
Which one?
That one, to your right. That little.
Pick one.
Nope, just, I want the only one that, where'd it go? There. That's not mine.
I don't know. Everybody, if I need a pen, everybody scores up here on my desk.
That's my pen.
Except Carter.
Well, I didn't get everything back in the proper place after it was all.
Shame on you.
And then, well, it was all piled up over there, so.
We've had a fairly eventful morning already. I've already forgot, brought my phone in here and then forgot to shut it off, so. My apologies.
Starting again, good morning, Warren County Board of Supervisors. March 9th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Have an agenda. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Just have an agenda item for the canvas for the Danville School special election later on. And I understand the governor signed the new election laws, so we'll be learning all of those. All the changes, so that'll be interesting.
Well, nothing changed. They change that every couple of years or so, don't they?
Yeah. Yep. Well, about every four, because the last time they did a major change was 2017, so, you know, what the heck.
At least they're on schedule.
Yeah.
They need to make a law.
That they can't change that stuff at all?
Where they have to come down and work in these election cycles with you.
Yeah.
So they know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's going on.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Not a lot to update on. We have agenda item, a couple of those part-time technicians that we're hiring through park revenue. We did start prescribed burns yesterday. It's like, I think this might be the first time I've ever burned with snow on the ground. Makes for really great fire break though, so. So I just let folks know, I mean, there's still ice on the lakes and then there's smoke in the air. So it's just a really weird spring. We're burning off some of the prairie areas that we have. We're focused on trying to eliminate some of the trees that are coming up in those. And so, but with this wind today, it was a lot drier. I mean, we've been complaining about wet roads, you know, here last week. And then I was surprised at how dry those fields were yesterday. Very surprised. You couldn't hardly drive a machine around them because the perimeter around it was so wet, but the vegetation itself.
How big an area can you burn at a time?
Most of our areas are fairly small. I think yesterday we probably only burned maybe 4 or 5 acres.
In one burn, though? I mean, 1 4 or 5 acre? Or
one was probably, you know, half an acre, and then the other one was maybe three and a half, if I was to guess. Anyway, just some fields there, big hollow is what we were burning. We have a bunch of others on the list. It's just trying to get the conditions right to do it. Other than that, just we're going to transition into spring mode. We did not have any campers in Big Hollow last weekend, surprisingly, but we're getting several calls a day, folks asking about when we're going to open the campgrounds and stuff. Looks like we're coming into a cool down cycle, so that might mitigate some of that demand, but we are working real hard to try to get some rock put on some of our roads and some of our camp pads before we get a bunch of campers in there, trying to do it while the park's still open and empty. And so we're kind of scrambling to try to get that done before we have a bunch of folks show up. So we'll keep plugging away at that, do what we can. Looking forward to April 1st is generally the park opening day that we shoot for. We try to have everything done, the water turned back on in the parks, weather dependent, as best we can by April 1st. So that's what we're shooting for.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always, but nothing really new to report.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. A few things to update you on. First of all, projects. 99 Bridge is coming along, moving well. Still working on the deck. That will be kind of the refrain for a while. So, but they are making headway. In a biggie and a bit earlier than I was anticipating, we had a pre-construction meeting yesterday morning, I guess I'd say, about the Flint Bottom Road project, and that contractor wants to get going. And with the weather conditions we've had, I don't have a good reason to stop them. So they're going to close Flint Bottom. They're going to work, if you remember right, it's going to be two segments on Flint Bottom, and they can only do one segment at a time. They got to have traffic open on one segment before they can close the other segment. So they're going to work on the segment that extends from the Beaverdale Road intersection to close to North Prairie Grove Road. That's the segment. So that's the western end of Flint Bottom Road. They're going to do that first. So Friday at some point, that will go closed. And essentially, Flint Bottom will be closed to through traffic for the rest of the year, or at least for the rest of the summer would be a better way to put it. Probably into the fall, if I had to guess. So we sent out a kind of an informative round of letters to local landowners and area residents, and I'm sure there's no way we hit everybody. Just to let them know where they're going to start working and about the closure. So I guess law enforcement knows now, but it won't be, you know, it'll impact, for instance, the ethanol plant. The guys doing deliveries for grain, they'll have to go in and take the four lane, which is they're accustomed to now because we've worked down there so much over the last couple of years. That's a big deal. That's good to see that work get going. So that'll be a long one, but they will get going on that. Still been out spot rocking and blading. The guys are finally, conditions are such where we're actually doing a little bit just standard blading. So that's good to get to. We're not going to get everything touched, bladed, I guess, before this rain comes along. So invariably we'll have some new spots show up and stuff like that that we'll go back to deal with when the rain gets done and we dry back out. But it looks like we're going to settle into a cool rainy stretch right now if you look at the 10-day forecast. So doesn't look like any 70s anyway. And then we do have a bid out right now for the project we discussed on Pleasant Grove Road. So I have an agenda item relating to that also, but that project went out. I got your guys' signatures on that cover sheet. That's what I came around. Appreciate your guys working with me on that unexpectedly on a Friday. We're a lot of stuff getting ready to start going on already. It's going to be another busy summer. So, and it's only March. So, anyway, otherwise, you guys, any questions? I do have a work session later too. So,
give your crew thumbs up, because the roads I've been traveling on are 100% better than what they was.
Well, thank you. I will. I'll pass that on. I think we get about half the credit, and the weather gets about half the credit. They both factor into it, and you can't control the one. But we have spent a lot of money on spot rock over the last week, and that helped the worst of the worst. We were never going to hit everything, and there still is work to do. I mean, I'll be the first to admit you can still go out and find potholes and stuff like that. We're not out of the woods yet, but I think we're pretty fortunate that we got the kind of the steady warm up and got rid of the snow and everything the way we did with no rain in between. It's kind of a rarity this time of year. So,
have you heard of a coming shortage of fly ash?
We just received the shortage on fly ash. Actually, it's kind of been a topic the last two falls in the construction industry, and last fall it came up. Tends to impact concrete production is the biggest. I mean, I'm sure it has other impacts, but it tends to be the impact because fly ash is a substitute for cement in the overall mix of concrete. You can't use, it's not one-to-one. So I think you can only use a maximum of 15 or 20% of fly ash. It's basically kind of a, cement's more expensive, and so it's
Isn't it harder to work with though without the fly ash?
I would actually say that with fly ash can bring some different or sometimes unexpected not unexpected, but it can change its properties a little bit, especially in cooler weather. You get into warmer weather and stuff, and I don't, most contractors, I think, would tell you that it's give or take. It just depends on the weather conditions. But fly ash didn't used to be a topic of conversation, but it became, again, it's a natural byproduct of the energy industry. And so as long as it's graded properly and whatever else, it is a substitute and helps offset the amount of cement you need, which is...
I was just curious if that was going to, that was basically my question, is that going to affect some of the bids that are coming
up? Yes, it could impact the bids coming up, and there's an outside chance that it could impact some of our current project costs. If a contractor gets hit by something unforeseen like that, there can be subsequent conversations about this was beyond our control, kind of an act of God type of situation. And sometimes fuel prices are similar, where all of a sudden they'll spike, not like they've done now, but significantly for whatever reason. And that's another after the fact conversation that is occasionally held. At this point, we've not been approached. So they're talking about a fly ash shortage, but keep in mind, they have a certain amount laid in for work. And I can't speak to what Ideal has or what anybody has, but there is a certain amount there. They're just already looking ahead, basically. So I saw that letter, and I guess it wasn't a complete surprise to me. I don't know exactly what's causing the shortage, but I believe a lot of fly ash is at least created by coal-fired type plants, and I'm not sure our current administration is real friendly towards that overall operation, so that could be a potential impact in the long run, and that's yet one more way that increases costs. So,
thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Natalie. How are things in the recorder's office?
Good morning. Things are going smooth. Nothing new to report.
Incidentally, I've gotten a couple calls with compliments to treat you personally on the way. A couple of people thought they were treated very nicely by you in the recorder's office.
Was it Natalie for sure?
Well, it said that, yeah. Anyway, so what?
That was me that called it.
No, you called a couple times, and I can tell you tried to disguise your voice. These were not you anyway, so that's... People don't often reach out and say that somebody really treated them well, so that's
nice.
A nice compliment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Kevin Glendon.
Good morning. I've got Brandon McClayland here with us. He's our new deputy. He started yesterday. Pretty excited to have him on board. He comes as a certified officer from West Burlington, and excited to get his training going and get him started. But just wanted to bring him over and introduce him to everybody and put a name on the face for the future.
Welcome aboard, Brandon.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Kevin, doesn't that save you money when you hire a certified peace officer instead of someone right out of SCC?
So there can be some cost savings, but we work through a lot of times in law enforcement there's contracts, and in this specific situation there is a contract. So we reimburse the payment for training in accordance with that contract.
Okay.
Just on a side note, Brandon's grandparents are my neighbors. So it comes from a good family.
Appreciate it.
Well, when you're over,
yeah, they call periodically and complain about you. we're glad.
Yeah, I'm excited. Welcome to the county. I also wanted to let you know about a youth training academy that our office is starting. It's going to be open up to 16 to 18 year olds. Youth in Des Moines County. If you know of any good applicants, we'd love to have them. We're taking applicants through April 1st, and it's going to be a 10-week session on Wednesday nights.
Where can you pick these applications?
So you can pick them up at the Sheriff's Office, or you could call or email us, and we'd be glad to mail one or send one via email, and you can send it back in. They're also available through our school resource officers in Minneapolis and Danville, or you can just give us a call and we can get you one.
And you said that's Wednesday night at what time?
Wednesday night at, I believe it's 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 o'clock. On Wednesday nights.
Shane?
Yes, sir.
If you're planning on going, You're a little older than 18. You act like you're 18, but you can't know.
Thanks, Jimmy. I would lie and say that hurts my feelings, but it really doesn't. But I appreciate it all.
So it's going to be a real hands-on experience. We're going to do traffic enforcement, vehicle stops, crime scene processing. We're really looking for people that want to get involved in law enforcement. Pick that as a future profession and just get them involved and make them be a part of it. So
sweet.
That's our goal. So if you know anybody, send them our way. We'd love to have them.
When will that be?
That's going to start on, it's May 5th through July 7th.
So is that pretty similar to the BPD's Citizens Academy?
So this is more for our youth or geared towards our youth. So the Citizens Academy, I believe, is opened up to all adults. This is going to be the 16, 18-year-old, the youth that are looking for law enforcement.
Okay.
It's going to be a very, very basic training just to kind of give them some insight into what police work is and what the sheriff's office does and just give them some experience in that area.
Where'd this come from, Sheriff?
This has been in the plans for like the last 6 months to a year, just something that we wanted to do as a group, and we've been pushing towards, and COVID really that knocked that down, but so this has been kind of a plan in the works, but it also gave us time to develop it properly. We have all of our sessions set up with our instructors, and they've been able to develop the plan to make it fun, make it interactive, fill the time, and make it a neat experience. So we're excited about it.
What'd you call that?
We're going to call it the Youth Training Academy.
This is going to have the other agencies in town involved, the police department?
Not a little bit, but for like the narcotics enforcement, we'll use some of the other members of the Southeast Iowa Narcotics Task Force. We'll involve them, but for the most part, it's going to be instructors from the sheriff's office.
Okay. You said it was 10 weeks?
10 weeks, yeah.
10 weeks, once a week in the evening?
Yeah, once a week, Wednesday nights, 7 to 9.
Didn't have cool stuff like that when I was 16.
Me neither.
Thank you, Chair. Long as I've got you here, as you're aware, the board, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, we passed that ATV periodically. Have you guys had, has that created any problems for you, that ATV?
No, I would say any problems have been minor. There was a little bit early on of a confusion that the county ordinance didn't travel into the cities. Some people didn't have that understanding of it, of the rural or secondary roads, but a little bit of education, and it's actually gone really well. It's been very successful, no major issues at all.
Is there any problem with people on the levees with those things?
No more than what there were before,
okay.
and it's really been minor. I think people really respect our levees, and they understand the concern of driving on them. Every now and then we have one of those issues, but they're pretty rare.
Okay.
Well, I got a call from our representative for this area, wanted to know what I, thought about it. And I told him I was satisfied with what we had. We hadn't had any problem, and they've got a house file going on right now trying to change it where the state can regulate all this stuff. And that's what we asked for when all this came about. We wanted the state to do this. Now after all these counties get their stuff together, the state wants to come in and take control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis called me too, so I called me, so I just said, we've got one that works for us.
Yeah.
The state keep their nose out of it, so. Well, yeah, I'm glad to move up. But that's working well.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, thank you. Janelle Nally Longquist, Moyne County Treasurer.
Good morning. We've been keeping very busy.
March.
Yes, it is. Which brings me to my next thing. The second half property taxes are due by March 31st, so. Nothing new to report, but it's been busy.
You forgot something. Today's your birthday.
Oh, I didn't forget that.
Birthday!
Oh, thank
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janelle.
Uh-huh.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Nothing really new to report. We keep busy. We have our SEAL meetings tomorrow by Zoom, and so we'll do our business tomorrow too for the month. Nothing else new to report that I have at this time.
Thanks, Ken. Doug Urban, Correctional Center.
Good morning. Nothing new to report. Our population is down. We do have 72 as of this morning. We still do have 11 out of county. Six are waiting to go to Oakdale, which those we confirmed last week are on the list, ready to go. We do not have a time frame for those. They just call us, and they could call us today and be shipped tomorrow, or we don't know. We're at the state's hands on that. So six are waiting to go there. So
once you have them tested, then they take out soon, you can sell them.
We test them, send a test to Iowa City. They in turn go to Oakdale, and they send the results to Oakdale. And then Oakdale, whenever they got an opening, gives us a call and says, hey, bring them 1, 2, 3, 4 tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever. So
are you ever thinking about sneaking a couple extra ones up?
Yeah, we tried that. we've sent chicken lips up there, everything. We've tried it all.
Hey, when you send them, they all go at one time, or do you?
No, it's however many they have on their list to send up. So it could be one, it could be four.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Krista Hogelord, Public Health.
Good morning. Our office continues to be very busy. Total number of vaccines given to county residents at this point is 12,100, and 4,300 residents in our county have received the second dose. I really want to thank all the community volunteers. We have volunteers that come to our clinics and 2 and 3 times a week down at the auditorium help us out. Great River Health Systems has been amazing, and as well as emergency management, helping us get those vaccines given. We give almost 1,100 vaccines at those one-day clinics, and that wouldn't be possible without all their help. Also want to thank Colin and his IT team. They've been wonderful. They've helped us set up what's called No Wait Inside website that's on the Des Moines County webpage. People can log on to that and schedule an appointment at our office. The state has opened up vaccines to not only people that are 65 and older, plus the subcategories. They've also opened it up to people 64 and younger with certain health conditions, things such as hypertension, cancer. Colin put it on the webpage as well as it's on our Facebook page. If you click that, it will, on the link inside of there, will tell you what conditions are eligible to receive the COVID vaccines if you're under 64. And we are continuing as well. We're in the subcategory of working with manufacturing. So we've been going out to different manufacturing places and getting their vaccines done. So we're hoping in the next couple of weeks to get all of our manufacturing organizations done and then move to the next tier. So currently our 7-day rolling percentage is 2% with 14 cases. I have to say there was a day on Saturday we had 0 cases, and that was so exciting because I've not seen that in a year. So I feel like thank you to the community, everyone who's doing all the mitigation strategies. We're starting to see where we're headed in the right direction.
Chris, when IV is given, these are them in your, you get them figures sent to you?
That all goes into the state, yes. So we actually allocate that vaccine, all the vaccine except with the ones through the pharmacy contracts. Come through our public health, and we reallocate those out, and so that's actually tracked by Iowa Department of Public Health.
And you are getting, from what I heard this morning, you're getting Johnson & Johnson now?
We have not received Johnson & Johnson. I believe Hy-Vee got a small allocation directly through the pharmacy contract of Johnson & Johnson. The idea behind the Johnson & Johnson is they wanted to reach out to the communities. Our percentage of second doses is almost 11%, and it'll be higher than that as we give our second doses on Thursday, which we will give another 1,100 second doses. And so they're reaching out to the counties that maybe don't have that high of a completion rate and wanting the Johnson because it's a one dose, and to bring their percentage up. So I think we'll be a little while before we receive the Johnson & Johnson. We're currently getting mostly Pfizer, but we will be getting some of the Moderna as well.
Thank you.
So is the 12,100, is that total doses, or is that people with first dose?
That is people with first dose, or county residents with first dose.
All right, I just wanted to make sure before I printed the wrong thing.
Yep, yeah. And then 4,300 is the people that have completed doses.
Thank you, Krista. Rodney Gleesner, maintenance.
Good morning. We've just got with the nice weather, we've just got a lot of stuff going on, quite a few different projects. I did want to mention we had the courthouse and public building security committee meeting there 2 weeks ago. We kind of review that plan and make any revisions or corrections, and then kind of bring that to you for approval if we do. But there was no additions or corrections at this year's meeting, so you won't be seeing that plan run through here this year. So I appreciate everybody on that committee serving and looking at that. We are looking at maybe doing another active shooter drill, possibly in the fall of this year. So we'll take a look at that and see how things are going with COVID and all that, and kind of review it here later on in the summer or early fall. Other than that, it's just business as normal. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Get a little rain, maybe get some of the sand off the streets and the driveways.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Karen, okay.
I have two online here. First one is Jared Lassiter of Land Use.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Good morning. It seems like we've started subdivision season for the year. As it gets warmer and starts to dry out, we're starting to get those come in pretty good. Good rate here. We got a couple out for review right now, and I suspect we'll probably have two or three more within the next few weeks. We've had several here where they're just waiting on surveyors to get the work done, and they're all ready to go otherwise. So I'll have a number of them to review in the coming weeks. Other than that, I don't have anything else to report.
Thank you, Jared.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
We're just busy.
I suspected that. Anything else?
We have a trial going this week. We have a trial going next week. We have a trial going the week after that. We're just very, very busy.
Don't keep you out of trouble. Thanks, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anybody? Okay. Any correspondence?
I have none.
Proceed to discussion and vote. These are the issues of which county engineer spoke. We have approval of an Iowa Department of Transportation pre-construction agreement for two projects on Highway 61. There's a three projects.
Well, so A and B are what we've already had a work session about, and I'll just summarize them both briefly since just to make sure. But this is just simply standard protocol. This is part of the process of the DOT continuing to work northward on their four-lane project. So these agreements cover the segment of road that we'll take over up around the Mediapolis area. And then there's a couple of roads that have to be built and some stuff like that. So there's different kinds of work and different types of stuff in here. I think the high points are is that there's a couple relatively short gravel roads they'll build as part of their construction will take over. They have to do some reconstruction work on Mediapolis Road into Mediapolis as part of their project, their expense. And then probably the big ticket item is eventually when we take it over, I think there's a negotiated payment of $850,000. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Mediapolis. $325,000. Got mixed up. I've been dealing with both of them. So that they'll pay the county, which we don't have a lot of mileage. That's one thing to keep in mind. I think we got most of that mileage in this segment is in Mediapolis. It's a mile. It's in town. We're picking up a little bit of a stub piece of mileage to the south and a little piece of mileage to the north. So there's not a lot there that we're taking over this time. So And again, that's summarized in both agreements. They both have, there are a lot of boilerplate language. You guys have already seen these. But they do cover some of the payment stuff, some of the responsibilities, paving the approaches on four different side roads like we already are doing. So none of this is new or rocket science, and I'd recommend approval of both A and B.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
What's the difference between the 9-inch and the 10-inch? What does that mean on the pavement?
It's just thickness of concrete. So the approaches are being done at 10-inch because it typically matches up with the thickness of the four-lane paving that the DOT is doing. The 9-inch, I believe, I'd have to look in there, but I believe the 9-inch is probably what Mediapolis Road thickness is, but I could double it. It's just thickness of concrete, and to be honest with you, we typically do 8 inches of concrete on most of our projects. So,
okay.
So that's what it is. It's just the thickness of the concrete.
So the first agenda item is approval of IDOT pre-construction agreement 2021-C-079 for project number NHS6-061-265 and 3H-29 and NHSX-061-2106-3H-29 Highway 61. Neither one of you have to repeat that. I will leave you with this one thing. My mother always told me to beware of states that come bearing gifts.
Hi, this isn't a gift. This is a we don't want any more mileage, but it's basically a give and take situation.
Yeah. Move to approve item A. You just read.
Terry?
I take it Shane seconded?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
I'll grab these originals from you later on, Terry, because I have to get the originals back to the DOT.
That road you're talking about building, that would be from that...
Nisek and Stamp. This is for the state.
That house that's up north, past the old railroad crossing where you turned but went back there. They're going to take that back to the south.
Correct. That's, yeah.
Maley?
The Maley residence there. Jim Maley lives there. And so that they won't allow that access to come out to the highway because of the proximity to the interchange. So, and that's a private driveway right at the moment.
Yeah.
But so they're building a road over by where Alan Edmonds lived, essentially, north to that.
Okay, item 5B is the approval of the IDOT pre-construction agreement 2021-TJ-005 for project number TJ061-2130. And 2M-29 Highway 61.
I move that we approve.
You don't need to say that all.
I'll second that.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Carter is going to revise the 2021 five-year program.
You want to go through the entire five-year program?
I'm sure that was
we got an audience now. It's in the middle of the meeting. That's what I was going to tell them.
I got to take a phone call.
I just realized that Michelle said there's a shots fired call.
All right, we do have a revised 2021 county five-year program resolution. I believe this was discussed in a work session.
This was discussed in a work session. This was originally going to be first fiscal year of the upcoming construction program project. We've saved enough money on a lot of our competitive bids over the last couple of years that we're able to move forward and do another, I'd call it kind of a smaller scale project, but another concrete project This is, so all we're doing really is accelerating the timeframe, because we're gonna go ahead and bid this for this year's construction. And to wait till July to bid something wouldn't work very well. So this is actually out for bid. This is the one I mentioned earlier. We're out for bid for this. We plan on taking bids on April 1st. We have three landowners we need temporary construction easement from. They've all three agreed. I've got one of them all signed. The other two don't live in the area. So all those documents are out. They'll all come back signed. I have no reason to believe otherwise. So this is really just a formality to bring this project into the current construction program. So if the contractor were to start working before July 1st, it's in the program. So it's a roughly a half mile, give or take, of Pleasant Grove Road from the bridge to the east, which is in front of the quarry and which is one of the worst segments. In fact, we did a patch last fall just to get the thing through the wintertime, the worst spot. So anyway, it's that segment of road. You guys are aware of this. And I'd recommend approval of this also.
What road is that on? Move to approve the revised 2021 5-year program.
My second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Thank you. You can do whatever you want on that too, Tom, because
I will.
We just push a button on that one. We don't even send it on to the state anymore.
Okay, we have a fireworks permit for Sperry Fireworks on July 3rd, 2021. It's been correctly filled out and approved by the auditor's office.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. It doesn't say the time on there, though. When are they letting these things off? Want to get a good seat?
Yeah, make sure I'm there in time. Check it out.
I think they typically set those off about 30 minutes after sundown or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 9 o'clock seems to be a target time, give or take.
Yeah, 9:30.
Yep.
Natalie, you're close to it.
When it gets dark.
You gotta be sitting in your lazy boy and wonder who in the world's shooting. It's dark time and then dark and then you realize, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a holiday. They're shooting off fireworks. They're really good ones.
They are.
They go all out, that's for sure.
We have a Class B beer license for 34 raceways. And the sheriff's okay with the, has no problems with that.
I'm surprised that you're allowing those people to go out to 34 raceways and drink booze and drive around that track.
This beer. Hey, that's your baby beer. This is beer.
I move to approve the Class B beer license for 34 raceways.
Second.
Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Ewing Wedding. That's April 3rd, 2021. Move to approve Class C liquor license for Hy-Vee Ewing Wedding, April 3rd, 2021.
Clark.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
And we have a Class C liquor license for Fat Annie's Augusta Tap. And once again, the sheriff had no issues with it.
Move to approve Fat Annie's liquor license.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
And we have a Class C liquor license for Myers Wedding Barn. We're waiting on May 1st, 2021. I move that we approve Class C liquor license for Myers Wedding Barn on May 1st, 2021.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
And we have the canvas, the Danville
school special election held last Tuesday. Did you receive any absentee votes after the...
We only had one absentee ballot, and it was delivered that day, so there's we don't have to worry about any other ballots coming in or anything, so...
No changes, so...
No changes. We had 118 vote. This is in Des Moines County. 118 that voted at the polls, and one absentee ballot for a total of 119.
Sorry.
So the yes votes were 71, the no votes were 48, and then next week we will have the second tier canvas because now that cities and schools, that, or especially schools that cross county lines, if they have more than 125 voters, that county has to conduct that election also. So Henry County, but they had a countywide election going on. So they included, of course, the Danville school. So we have, after they do their canvas, they'll send me those results. And then next week we'll have the second tier canvas, which will include Henry County.
Okay, thank you. Need a motion to approve.
Move approve the canvas for Danville political election on 3/3/21.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have personnel actions. Last page you need stamped?
Yes, go ahead and just do the stamp and then everybody initial it because that goes in our election record book.
Good thing I've got plenty of pens. Hey, yeah, sign the first two. Signature and then make sure all the pages. Okay, we have personnel actions. We have two personnel actions for the conservation. Separate here. We have Derek Hester, part-time conservation tech. New rate, $15 an hour. And Harrison Beating, part-time conservation tech, a new rate of $15 an hour.
Move to approve both.
I second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Dakota Day, full-time correctional officer, unpaid leave for March 7, 2021 of 8.25 hours. We have Cody Reynolds, full-time correctional officer, unpaid leave February 21st through February 26, 2021, total 49 and a half hours. And Jacob Trumbull, kitchen assistant cook, new hire at $8.84 an hour.
I move that we accept the personnel actions for the correctional center.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
And we have.
Oh, okay.
And we have one personnel action for the sheriff's office. Trish Osborne, a part-time clerk, 6 month anniversary step increase. The previous rate was $16.50. The new rate is $17.50.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have reports for general assistance for February 2021, Veterans Affairs report for February 2021. Both of these reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. For the regular meeting of March 2nd, 2021.
Move to approve minutes.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items. Committee reports.
Well, we had a conservation meeting, but Chris Pernal told you about that, so it was a good meeting. And then I had a fair board meeting. The fair board meeting, it, my first one that I got to attend, it was a good meeting. They gave me a paper here. It goes back to when the fair started out at the college, the joint agreement between the county and the college.
Yeah, so what year was that?
1973.
It's been that long.
Been that long. And so I'll get some copies of this run, give you two guys so you can read it. It's interesting.
I bet.
So, but it's a good meeting. And, what I learned.
I had two good meetings as well. I just want to document for the record, I'm going to change my name to the other guy. Guy for short. Because both meetings, they said, well, who are you? I said, I'm replacing the last supervisor. They said, we like the other guy too. I said, well, just call me Guy for short. And that means they'll start to like me better too.
I think you brought treats for them. They said, we like the other guy better.
You'll never believe what I told them about you.
Don't say it live, buddy.
Descom had a meeting and we approved the new 2080 with the stipulation that the county attorney's going to look over and see if one or two of the sentences need to be modified. But that was the only meeting I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, we have set up an email or a phone number to contact the board. Email the board at board@dmcounty.com. That's board, B-O-A-R-D, at dmcounty.com. Or you may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or that email. Anybody in attendance have any comments? Group.
Shane, can I ask which meetings did you attend?
What's that?
Which means to do it.
Workforce development and early childhood development.
Should we sing?
CEO, oh, that was, yeah, CEO, workforce development.
I interrupted you. I mean, like, it was the moment.
I was hoping he's gonna start it up.
Not necessary.
I mean, how long does it take?
But Jim, they'll take you back.
Does happy birthday fit in the 2 minute gap?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Janelle. Happy birthday to you.
I don't think she really liked that. But
I don't know. I think I'm getting looks. I'm not sure.
What's he rubbing his cheeks for, you know?
And I've been married long enough, I know never to ask how many are you.
Oh, that'll bother me, but I'm not going to tell you anyway.
29.
That's a number that would have been my guess. 29.
Yeah,
that's true. That's funny. With their cake. You know, that might make YouTube. We might get 1,000 hits on that.
I tried to sing books.
Then you can make some of that sweet, sweet ad revenue.
I've thrown that out to Colin. He doesn't think our numbers are approaching that yet.
No, not quite. A little off.
Yeah, being double figures anyway, don't you?
Our numbers are better than Middletown. That's all I got to say about that.
With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.